The Local Government News Roundup is proudly supported by Davidson. For 30 years, Davidson has been strengthening the local government sector by identifying and providing the people, expertise and experience that local government needs to enhance its capability, productivity and performance. Davidson is nationally recognised for its executive recruitment services and over the past 4 years has built a business advisory practice rapidly evolving into one of the nation's foremost and trusted local government business consultancy firms. The Davidson methodology and approach is simple. Thinking beyond now and aiming to be a valued partner with your local government, not just for the immediate project, but for the next 30 years. Speak to Justin Hanney or Seamus Scanlon to find out more, or head to davidsonwp.com.au. Davidson, your future, your partner. Coming up on the Local Government News Roundup, new green wedge planning controls unveiled for Melbourne's fringe areas, councils grapple with vandalism of public amenities and landfill fires, storm event recovery and preparedness still front and centre for some councils, some surprise results from the weekend's local government elections in Queensland, one council demerger rejected in New South Wales, while another continues to move forward. The search is on for a new general manager at Singleton after its GM of 8 years resigns, and a city mourns the passing of a former CEO. Just some of the many local government stories getting our attention today. Let's round them up. Hello, I'm Chris Eddy, back with another curated selection of news from and about councils across Australia and beyond. It's Monday, the 18th of March, 2024. The podcast is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service. Councils on Melbourne's fringe will receive new guidance from the state government on green wedge land management, according to a weekend article from The Age. The new Green Wedge and Agricultural Action Plan includes a focus on balancing competing land use needs for housing and farming on the city's outskirts, and will set new controls on accommodation, exhibition centres and hotels, according to the report. The new controls are aimed at protecting farmland from encroaching urban growth, with restrictions on residential and industrial development near agricultural land. A special overlay will apply to irrigated market gardens in Werribee South and Bacchus Marsh. Minister for Planning Sonia Kilkenny told The Age that more housing doesn't have to come at the expense of our green wedges. The fate of a five-storey hotel proposed for the Mornington Peninsula will be determined by the council this week. The council's planning department has recommended the proposal be rejected due to concerns about size and parking. If the development were to proceed, it would be the tallest building in Rosebud and Portsea, according to the Mornington Peninsula leader. 53 objections to the plan have been received, mainly due to concerns about the building's height, scale and inadequate parking provisions. The Mayor of Moynshire, Councillor Ian Smith, is seeking assurances from the state government that community concerns will be considered in the approval process for renewable energy projects. He is deeply concerned about the removal of the independent planning panel process, which would erase a vital chance for community and stakeholder input on projects. Councillor Smith also highlighted the need for strategic land use planning before new developments are approved and for developers to engage with local communities before project design. Moynshire is home to 310 operating wind turbines, with another 410 under construction or in planning. At the City of Greater Geelong, a new Capital Works Projects dashboard has been launched, allowing you to explore 67 council-funded infrastructure projects at various stages of development. 20 projects are under construction, 7 projects are in the design phase, and 18 projects, including the Northern Aquatic and Community Hub, are listed as completed or being handed over. Extensive vandalism to public facilities in Hamilton has led to a decision by Southern Grampians Shire Council to temporarily close public amenities in the town overnight. The vandalism includes damage to heritage sites, public toilets and street furniture, causing distress and financial burden. To reduce nighttime incidents, amenities blocks at four locations in Hamilton will be closed from 8 p.m. to 7 a.m. The public has been urged to report any incidents of damage to the council or to Hamilton Police. Swan Hill Rural City Council is trialling the playing of classical music at the McCallum Street toilets to deter vandalism. The innovative strategy, inspired by successful implementations elsewhere, is designed to mitigate antisocial behaviour in public spaces. The council is also planning a comprehensive refurbishment of the toilets as part of its public convenience strategy. Staff at Corangamite Shire are said to be at their wits' end after multiple fires at the Corangamite landfill due to incorrect disposal of batteries, e-waste and flares. Three such fires occurred on one day in January alone, posing a risk of serious injuries and significant damage at a particularly dangerous time of the year for fire outbreaks. The public is being urged to properly dispose of hazardous items and consider alternatives like electronic LED distress beacons instead of pyrotechnic flares. Recovery and preparedness after recent storm events is still top of mind for councils across the state. The Governor of Victoria, Her Excellency Professor the Honourable Margaret Gardner AC, and the Emergency Management Commissioner Rick Nugent recently visited Murrindindi, Mitchell and Campaspe shires, seeking to understand the impacts of recent emergency events. In Murrindindi, council representatives highlighted the challenges faced by the community, particularly in disaster preparedness and response. The visit also included a tour of areas severely impacted by recent floods. In Seymour, the Governor and the Emergency Management Commissioner toured flood-affected communities, spoke with residents about their experiences and reflected on the progress made through coordination and collaboration. East Gippsland Shire and Telstra are collaborating to improve telecommunications in the region, particularly since the 2019-20 fires. Recent discussions between Telstra, NBNCo and council representatives focused on infrastructure upgrades, the addition of 18 new mobile sites and lessons learned from a recent storm event that caused extensive outages. The council and Telstra are working towards recognising telecommunications as an essential service, mandating emergency roaming and infrastructure reliability, investigating infrastructure failures, enhancing system resilience and improving reliability in remote areas. And at Cardinia Shire, an expanded curbside storm debris removal program is taking place over the next week across 19 townships. 543 roads across the shire are included in the program for the collection of tree branches and trunks and other storm-related waste. Now, here are the Victorian briefs. Beaches in Mornington Peninsula will undergo a 12-month trial of hand cleaning after investigations showed mechanical rakes only removed 40% of litter and often broke plastic into smaller pieces. The trial aims to determine if hand cleaning is more efficient, cost-effective and environmentally friendly. Moira Shire is actively encouraging visitation from the self-contained recreational vehicle market, a growing segment of tourists. It's designated the Wungyu Recreation Reserve as a 48-hour camping area for self-contained RVs, which is expected to benefit both locals and tourists. The City of Ballarat estimates more than 44,000 people attended this year's Begonia Festival, held over the March long weekend. An economic boost of around $3 million for the local economy was supplemented by around $2.3 million in media attention for the event. And applications are open for the CEO position at Glenelg Shire. GEM Executive is handling the recruitment for the role, which is being filled on an interim basis by Greg Wood, following the resignation last year of Paul Phelan. Applications close on the 9th of April. You're listening to the Local Government News Roundup. This is episode 313, recorded Monday the 18th of March 2024, and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson. We're starting the national roundup in Queensland today, where local government elections have been held over the weekend. Let's look at some key mayoral results that have come to hand. Brisbane Lord Mayor Adrian Schrinner has been returned. He said he was humbled to be chosen to serve another term and was critical of the slow count in many of the city's wards, which remained too close to call on Saturday night. According to the Brisbane Times, Mr. Schrinner said the Electoral Commission's performance will need to be considered after counting is finished. On the Gold Coast, high-profile Mayor Tom Tate was also returned. It will be an unprecedented fourth term for him. With a little over half the vote counted on Saturday night, Mayor Tate was polling over 50% of first preference votes. Seven incumbent councillors look likely to be returned, while suspended councillor Ryan Baldon-Lumsden was struggling in third place, according to 102.9 FM, with postal and preference votes expected to determine the result. Incumbent Mackay Mayor Greg Williamson was in a tight battle with challenger Steve Jackson. At South Burnett, the election for a new mayor there saw Kathy Duff with the lead on Saturday night at around 36% of the vote, over her nearest rival on 26%. At Gympie, incumbent Mayor Glenn Hartwick has polled well and looks almost certain to be returned. The race to be the new mayor of Douglas Shire is tight. Lisa Skamatsin has 48% of the vote, ahead of David Horatsis with almost 45%, based on the latest figures from the Electoral Commission. Incumbent Townsville Mayor Jenny Hill has a fight on her hands to retain the role from former One Nation candidate Troy Thompson, who was narrowly ahead in the count on Sunday. Piorina Dalla-Court will be the new mayor of Burdekinshire, and Ramon Jayo has been returned unopposed for a third term in Hinchinbrookshire. In Bundaberg, the incumbent mayor Jack Dempsey looks unlikely to win a third term, with challenger Helen Blackburn well ahead in the count as of Sunday afternoon. A strong performance in the polls has seen George Seymour returned as mayor of Fraser Coast, while the ABC was reporting an uphill battle for re-election for the incumbent mayors of Cairns, Scenic Rim, Southern Downs and Mount Isa. No doubt about the result in Rockhampton, where incumbent Tony Williams has recorded a strong vote and has been returned for another four-year term as mayor. And John Raven has secured more than 50% of votes for the mayor in Logan, while Frank Wilkie leads the race to be the new mayor of Noosa. Ahead of the weekend's elections, the Local Government Association of Queensland released an overview of candidate data. It revealed that from a total number of candidates of 1,422, 37% were female and 62% male, with less than 1% unspecified. 128 councillors retired ahead of the elections, including 17 mayors, and the average age of candidates was 53. Now, some stories out of New South Wales, and the Local Government Boundaries Commission has recommended against the proposed demerger of Inner West Council on the grounds that it will be financially unviable. Minister for Local Government Ron Honig has accepted the recommendation despite a majority of 62% having voted for a return to the original three council structure in a non-binding poll in 2021. Mr. Honig said there was compelling evidence that a demerger would cost the community more than it would save. Inner West Mayor Darcy Byrne told ABC News that the Commission had made a fair and independent assessment and said he accepts the recommendation that the council should not be abolished. The next step towards a potential demerger of Cootamundra Gundagai Council comes up tomorrow evening when the council will vote on a detailed transition and financial sustainability plan. The matter is up for consideration at an extraordinary council meeting with a recommendation that the plans be adopted and referred to the Boundaries Commission for review. The financial sustainability plan envisages a 7.5% increase in rates above the rate peg in the 2026 and 27 financial years for a standalone Cootamundra council, and annual borrowings of $1.5 million for 5 years for a new Gundagai council, along with a 25% increase above the rate peg in the 2026, 27 and 28 financial years. Regional city mayors in New South Wales are urging the state government to address the urgent need for affordable housing, as the influx of new residents outpaces housing availability. Regional Cities New South Wales unanimously supported a motion from Tweed Mayor Councillor Chris Cherry to seek an urgent audience with the New South Wales Minister for Housing and the CEO of Homes New South Wales. They are seeking information on the government's investment plans for regional cities and potential incentives for private residential development. Regional Cities New South Wales Chair and Mayor of Dubbo, Matthew Dickerson, said we need to put all options on the table if we're to tackle this generational problem in any meaningful way. And after 8 years of service, Jason Linane has resigned as the General Manager of Singleton Council. Linane, who led the community through significant changes and challenges, is heading to Maitland City Council as Director of City Services. Mayor Sue Moore praised Linane's contributions, particularly his focus on staff well-being, financial management and continuous improvement. The council has begun the recruitment process for his replacement. There's a state election coming up in Tasmania, and a host of current councillors have put their hand up for election to Parliament. The Mercury reported that three mayors and six deputy mayors are among those who have nominated. They include the current mayors of Southern Midlands, Central Highlands and Latrobe, and the deputy mayors of Hobart, Glenorchy and Huon. There's no requirement for councillors in Tasmania to resign or take leave when running for higher office, but the Local Government Association of Tasmania says it will be seeking changes to make that a requirement in future. In Western Australia, the city of Kalamunda is mourning the passing of former CEO Rhonda Hardy, who served from July 2013 to September last year. Hardy's tenure was marked by her commitment to the city's growth, leading initiatives that contributed to the region's development and restoring the city's financial health. Prior to her role as CEO, Hardy held senior positions at various institutions and local governments, and her contributions were recognised with several accolades. Vale Rhonda Hardy. And now let's check in on the national briefs. Shire of Morowa President Karen Chappell has been re-elected as President of the WA Local Government Association for her second term. In addition, Town of Claremont Councillor Paul Kelly was re-elected as Walga's Deputy President. The City of Hobart has chosen Beam as the sole operator for its e-scooter program, aiming to enhance accountability, sustainability and safety. The program has seen nearly 800 riders per day, with data showing e-scooters as a viable alternative transport form. Beam plans to upgrade the e-scooter fleet and introduce Hobart's first seated e-scooters. Shoalhaven City Council has launched an educational campaign focusing on responsible dog ownership. The campaign, which supports the council's zero-tolerance policy towards antisocial dog behaviour, includes five videos covering topics from microchipping to training. And the Shire of Augusta Margaret River has joined the EV network in Western Australia with two new fast chargers installed in Margaret River. The network is expected to be completed by mid-year with 49 EV charging sites across the state. And now on the Local Government News Roundup, it's time for the International Spotlight. Some stories out of the UK, firstly. And new laws may be introduced to prevent South Cambridgeshire District Council from operating a four-day week, according to Local Government Minister Simon Hoare in a report from BBC News. The council, which claims the system has improved performance and staff recruitment, became the first local authority in the UK to trial a four-day week last year. Despite government opposition and threats of financial penalties, the council recently agreed to continue the trial, a decision the minister described as disappointing and arrogant. The Local Government Association has welcomed the UK government's commitment of £31 million to improve security provisions for local elected representatives. This includes a named police contact for councillors, increased private sector security for those at higher risk, and expanded cyber security advice. The LGA has long called for these measures and urges the government to also end the legal obligation for a council to publish a councillor's home address. Stephen Brown, the chief executive of Slough Borough Council, has announced his decision to step down. Brown, who joined the council 2 years ago during a period of volatility, believes that the nearly completed restructure should be led by a new chief executive who can set the future direction. The council has acknowledged Brown's contributions, particularly his efforts in stabilising the organisation and setting key building blocks for its improvement. Calls have been made for Councillor Craig Edward of West Dunbartonshire Council in Scotland to resign after he pleaded guilty to making, possessing and distributing indecent images of children. Despite being on the Sex Offenders Register, Edward still holds his position due to a lack of legislation that automatically terminates a councillor's role for such offences. The Clydebank Post reports that the council is considering what actions it can take, including reviewing the councillor's code of conduct, if Edward does not resign. Councillor Edward is due for sentencing this month. Meanwhile, in Canada, a town councillor at Banff has been charged with sexual assault stemming from an alleged incident in December. Hugh Pettigrew, who is maintaining his innocence, was charged on the 30th of January with his first court appearance on the 13th of March, according to a report from rmoutlook.com. Banff Mayor Corrie De Manno has expressed serious concerns over the allegations, stating that the council will discuss any recourse under the council's code of conduct bylaw as the case progresses. Councillor Pettigrew, who was elected to council in 2021, has stated his intention to continue his council and community duties. And Alberta's Village of Andrew has been ordered to follow 11 directives by Municipal Affairs Minister Rick McIver following a municipal inspection report that revealed governance issues. CBC News reported that the report identified concerns with financial reporting, taxation, municipal bylaws, and council meeting preparation, among others. The village, which has been struggling with financial and governance problems, has expressed intent to address the report's findings and the minister's directives. The village must report monthly on its progress until all directives have been completed. And there you have the latest from the Roundup for the 18th of March 2024, brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson. You can find the links to the stories referenced in the episode and a full transcript at lgnewsroundup.com. While you're there, check out the latest breaking news updates and learn how you can support the Roundup by becoming a subscriber through a small monthly contribution, which you can cancel at any time. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll be back with more local government news soon. Until next time, thanks for listening and bye for now. The Local Government News Roundup is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association. As Victorian councils go to elections later this year, the VLGA is ready to support communities and councils in good governance. A series of workshops has been designed to increase understanding of the local government sector, the work of councils, and the role of a councillor. Registrations are being taken now for workshops in May on standing for local government and local women leading change. And member councils should look out for the VLGA's 2024 Local Government Election Pre-Candidate Prospectus, available soon. Find out more about how the VLGA can support your council and community during this important time in the local government election cycle. Visit vlga.org.au.